It is Thursday here with the Invasion. Donovan Lewis, Matt McLaren. We'll get back into the Rangers opening day here in 15 minutes or so. But as we just so wonderfully found out, it is indeed Boy Music, brought to you by Globe Life. And we today are at the home of my favorite musician of all time. Favorite band, favorite act is Pat Green. And we are hanging out at Pat Green's house because
that's
he
why
bid.
You're saying that. I know it. It's fine.
Yes, did you ever think when you were going to those shows?
Yeah, there you go. I got the bell there. Yeah, the bell. I got to see the bell. There we go. There
did
we go.
You ever think that when you were going to those shows, that not only would you be at his house doing a show, that you guys are cool?
Then I'd ring a bell for him.
Right. You can
pick up
the phone and call him and do everything
never.
Like that.
I mean, I've told you guys this before. I've probably been to 25-ish, maybe more Pat Green shows over the course. It's probably more than that.
My wife and I greatly appreciate your patronage,
you're
sir.
It's very there nice you go. Yeah. I mean, I've seen you in Atlanta. I saw you play in North Carolina once in Charlotte.
Coyote Joe's.
That's exactly
the only place I've ever played in
Charlotte. That was. It was Coyote Joe's. I saw you there. Yeah. I saw you. Probably the weirdest part was at Wild Adventures Theme Park in Valdosta, Georgia.
My only time I ever played Valdosta was the night that I had food poisoning on stage and had to run off before I couldn't run off stage.
So, yeah, I've seen you at a few different places, which has been awesome. And of course, got into you many, many years ago in college. So it's been 20 plus years ago when, you know, you were first kind of getting into the big scene and seeing you a lot of different places.
And I know you probably get tired of talking about this, but for people who don't really truly know, and I'm always curious about the actual start or the thought of you doing this as a career, because a lot of people will say, man, that dude can sing. And you have a lot of people that you say that about, but they never progress to the point of playing or doing the things that you've done. So when did you realize, like, man, not only am I really good at this, I can make this my career and my job, and we can go and play a lot of different places.
Me and Corey Morrow were at Texas Tech together. Sorry you don't like Texas Tech, Keller. That's my bad. But anyway, I didn't start it. But Corey Morrow and I would learn. We'd sit in David Henry's house in Lubbock and sit around and learn songs that on Wednesday night after Bible study, evidently.
Right.
We learned Bible study.
Evidently.
Yeah, and then on Saturday night, me and Corey had a little band, and we'd play together at the bars. And when Corey, we sold out our last show, and it sold out. It was $5. Yeah, I mean, come on.
Right.
It was a cover charge, really. Anyway, so he goes, Pat, I'm moving to Austin. I'm going to start my career. I'm like, I can't. I got to graduate. And anyway, when he did that and he started, and I went down to Austin about a year later, and there was thousands of people in front of him singing his own songs on his record. And Jack Ingram was doing the same thing. And I was like, man, if they can do it, that's really what I was watching other guys be successful at the same game that I was trying to play.
Okay.
On a pro level. And I was like, okay. I'll do that. And I don't know, 10 years later, you know, I was working for my dad, and on the weekends I'd go out with my band, and one time I came home, I came to the office on Monday, I was counting out the money from the bar that I played with, and he goes, is that your money or my money? I go, Dad, it's mine. And he goes, come in my office and count it. He counted it out, and he goes, if you can make this every weekend, you don't need my job. You need to go do that. And so he fired me. He's like, you're done. I'll give you a month, but you need to go follow this. So I did.
What was the first song that you wrote that you thought, okay, this works?
Carry On, No Doubt. That's actually the first song that I was like, that's a really good song. But I wrote it with Walt
really
Wilkins. So,
right.
I mean, like, you know, I can't screw that up kind of thing, you know. But yeah, that was the one where I go, man, I just felt like I turned a corner.
Yeah.
And that's when we signed our record contract. Actually, it's funny, we didn't talk about Atlanta off air, but I was in the parking lot of the Tabernacle where we were playing that night. And that's when they gave me the record deal from RCA. And I was like,
okay.
I was like, you know, they told me on the phone. I was like, walked around for an hour. I'm like, did this just happen? I just signed a record deal over the phone and a publishing deal at the same time. It's and everything since then, it's just been, you know, so much fun and a blur and big concerts. And what a blessing all of us sitting at this table have just to be able to do a job that we I love my job.
Right. So we're here with Pat Green. We're at his home. He won the auction for the home invasion, and we're here. So when you're in the lab and you're preparing, writing a song or whatever, and I know that's a process that different artists will do different things as far as getting into it. You're penning a song or whatever, and you're getting it together. You know that this song is going to hit? Have there been songs where you thought, man, this is it? This is the one, and it just doesn't go over at like you thought it was going to.
A couple have been major flops, like anybody else in the entertainment industry.
Right.
I mean, you're going to put out a product that people go, that's just not what I like. I like this other, old records, but whatever. Yeah. Wave on Wave was, I mean, it took us 30 minutes to write that thing. And I was like, guys, that's not only the title of the next record, that's our first hit off of that record. And I promised them, you know, the guys that I wrote it with, my drummer and my keyboard player. And I, you know, it was just, we knew it and it happened. A couple more songs like that. But, I mean, you look at Dixie Lullaby, which came out, and that thing didn't, it didn't even sniff any kind of top 40, you know, but whatever. Yeah, we've had plenty of flops. But, and I would have sworn that Dixie Lullaby was a hit.
But well, what do you consider a flop, though? Because if you write a song that you feel really good about, and that's why I love some artists, that they can get to a level where they put out what they feel and they don't worry about the commercial success or anything like that. Is that something that's really satisfying to you?
I think if you write songs from your truth, it's not going to sound like everybody else's song. It's not going to sound like what's on, and my songs don't sound like what's on radio. Wave on Wave was the farthest thing from country music when we put it out. But it's just all the rhythm of the writing, like Carry On. I knew that was going to be a hit. And it feels just like it should. I was like, God dang, these are good songs. And then, you know, some of them, like I said, some of them even in the old brick wall and the record label said, sorry, no more money. I'm like, oh, okay.
Right.
So the song's dead.
When you're going into a show, because I'm always curious about this, how do you decide when you're putting together your set list?
Yeah.
What you want to play? Because, I mean, you've been doing this for so long now. You've got stuff that some of your older fans like me may know from some of your earlier albums versus the stuff that has come out recently versus, let me talk about Dixie Lullaby being a flop, which I would disagree, of course, but how do you determine?
I think it's a cool song. I mean, I still play it.
How do you determine what you're going to put?
Well, most of the time, Sean Giddings is my piano player, and he's just a brilliant mind, but he puts our shows together because he's respective of like all the instruments on stage. So there's two guitars, the bass, the keys, and my guitar. And so he's respective of how the guitar techs, what guitar changes have to happen for everybody to play the same song. So he'll put certain songs in order and then, you know, obviously change it up as much as you can. But to your point, Donnie, you know, if I like a song, I don't care. I'll play it.
Right.
You know, I mean, I play California every night and it's really, you know, it never even sniffed the radio.
Yeah.
But I mean, dang, I love that song.
Yeah. So you, and we're here with Pat Green. We're at his house. He, he won the home invasion for the Normathon to benefit Austin Street Center. We really appreciate you being a really, really hospitable guy here. And so as far as, because you do have a lot of people, and I feel like an artist like you, and you're so approachable, and you talk to a lot of people, but kind of treat you like a DJ at a party, at a wedding. Hey, man, why don't you go and play this? Yeah, hey, man, play this for me.
Yeah, why don't you play a song I want?
Right.
It's always the drunkest guy at the place standing up in front of me. I've got in-ear monitors. I can't hear what he's saying, but he's like sitting there just chirping. And on the microphone, I just go, man, I'm sorry. This is not a good time for a conversation. I'm doing this job here. And,
play my song, Pat.
Believe it or not, I have a pre-approved schedule of events tonight. That's what we'll be getting to.
Do you try to accommodate at times, or are you saying, man, I've got to do what I got to do?
It's a showman's trick. If it's on the set list, we say, oh, yeah, of course, I'll play that.
Okay, right. But it's already there. Okay.
Man, don't play. I'll get a few minutes. I'll play that.
I got you.
I usually ask for the big songs.
Yeah.
The ones that ask for the old songs, I'm like, eh.
I'm probably not going to get that.
Right.
Okay, yeah, because that's curious to me, because I've seen you, like, obviously, we were just talking about it many, many times. I've seen you play Threadbare Gypsy Soul once.
I was going to play it for you today.
Were you? Oh, my God.
Off the air.
Not
playing on there.
I might cry. That's literally my personal favorite song of my lifetime. Like, seriously.
Wow.
Yes.
And like, I love that.
The lyrics mean a lot to me.
That's why I love when you get into an artist like that, because the hits obviously make the artist, and that's what everyone knows. But when you really dig that person, you dig into the B-side and the deeper cuts, and that's my favorite. I understand everyone loves this, and I do too, but this one is the one that connected with me.
And I always wonder, because you do it with Willie, obviously, and I wonder if that's why you, because I saw, the one time I saw you play it, you were playing with Willie, and he came out and played it with you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Where was that?
Man, I'm
Colorado Springs, Nashville. I can only remember like three or four times.
No, it wasn't around here. I have to think.
Colorado Springs was a big memory because that's the first time he ever played it with me. But
But yeah,
did that blow you away?
I was opening. Yeah, I was opening show.
And oh, so came out. Yeah, you were opening for him wherever I saw you. Like,
yeah,
he came
really
out.
Doesn't open for me.
Well, yeah, obviously. I mean, everyone else is Willie.
Hey, Pat, you mind if I close the show?
But I always wondered if that, if maybe like songs like that where you do, because you've got songs where you play with Corey Morrow.
Sure.
That I wonder, is that one of those things where because that's how the song is presented on an album or how it originally transpired that you would only do it if they're with you?
No, I'll do anything. I mean, especially that, like with Corey, because everybody knows me and Corey have a great relationship.
Yeah.
So that harkens back to we wrote a record called Songs We Wish We'd, or did a record called Songs We Wish We'd Written, that's all awesome. Covers. And we traded off every other song. Anyway, long story short, he's, we learned that you got to give your crowd what they want and then throw some curveballs at them. And sometimes they land and sometimes they splat.
Yeah. Yeah.
You're like, hey, y'all never heard this song, or you haven't heard it. It's way back on this, you know, B sides like that. And people just kind of go,
they're like, play Baby Doll.
Yeah. And then the drunk guy comes up and says, play something from 1955.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I've always thought when you have an artist that everyone knows and loves and you go to the show, when you come out, you got to hit them with a hit or two to get them involved.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you have your enders that you're going to always, everyone
wave every night.
And wait to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's when you can hit them with the new stuff or the stuff that you just don't know is going to go over and say, all right, you know what? We've had, you know, fun, few hits. Let me try this one on you and see how you respond. Yeah. And it probably doesn't hit you as badly if they're just kind of standing there looking as if you came out at the very beginning and go, oh, here we go.
Yeah.
And you play something and they're just kind of standing there looking at you.
Well, you better do something good. That's like I said, don't steal if you're going to Walmart, you know, get the good
right,
stuff.
Right, right.
We did a live album in Luckenbach, this last fall, and we're releasing it, you know, in 4th of July this summer. And we did about half Jerry Jeff Walker songs, which, I mean, playing Jerry Jeff Walker, yeah, I mean, if you know the room, you play Jerry Jeff all night. I didn't even have to play a song. But, yeah, the sun came around and, you know.
Right.
Really cool. Just, you know. But now, most of the time, I don't mind making the crowd happy. But if they ask for something that I just don't remember. I mean, I've had 150-something hours of recording. I'm like, I don't know.
You're like, what year was that? Oh,
but the weddings are the fun ones. The weddings is we're like, do you mind if we send you a set list? And every song on there is B. There's not a, these are lifelong fans. And like, well, you're playing our wedding.
Sense.
And we want you to play the song that nobody's ever heard.
Do you ever get, because you talk about you close with Wave on Wave every time. Is it ever a time you're like, man, I'm doing Wave on Wave again?
I think every musician feels that way sometimes. Yeah. But I learned a lesson from Jerry Jeff many years ago. He really took me under his wing for a long time. And he goes, man, I play Bojangles twice if I want to. Because that thing makes me money.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's hilarious. You know, like, the other day, I was playing, my voice was scratching out. And I had this really bad time in the last 3 weeks just trying to get my voice back. And I was like, boys, I was talking to the band before the show. I was like, we might play Wave on Wave like 6 times and leave.
Yeah.
Put me on repeat and I'll get out of here, you know.
How you feel? How's the voice doing
now? It's doing fine. I had 3 weeks of where I had to go down. We had two of those weekends, we had to cancel all shows. But in my lifetime, I've only canceled 4 shows. So, well, till then, so 6 now.
Yeah.
I think out of the 30-year record of being, I mean, that's not very many times.
How scary was that for you?
The anxiety was through the roof. Not to mention that, my wife, I mean, you got to think about that. You know, the music business is the breadwinner of our house. And both of us were like, my vocal cord was lacerated. And then it got infected and ulcerated, and it was awful. So long story short, it was, you know, very anxiety. Like, should we sell the house? Do we need to start thinking about what's the plan if we don't ever sink again? You know, and so, you know, after about 3 trips to the specialist, they were like, you can't operate on that, but if you don't stop singing, it'll stop for you, and you're not going to come back from it. So it's an injury, like, it's a big injury, like, I don't know, like an Achilles tendon or something like that. It's a big one.
Man,
you can still hear it in my voice. You know?
Yeah.
It's a little bit raspy. I thought you were trying to get your sexy voice going on right now. I didn't know.
You'll never find me.
Okay, all right. It's 11:50. That's Boy Music. It's our weekly
on that one,
music
yeah.
segment. And we're here at the great Pat Green's house for the home invasion. He won the auction for the Normathon, benefiting the Austin Street Center. Man, we can't thank you enough
for
having
awesome,
us
man.
Out.
Appreciate
man,
it very
I
much.
Had more. Maybe we can bring
you
back.
Okay, y'all just lock up when I'm leaving.
Okay,
me and Brad are going to get some. Yeah.
Okay, all right. We'll lock up. All right. Then you'll come back like at 7 p.m. and I'm still here.
Yeah, like, where's Matt? Sitting on the couch in a stogie. Hey, man.
Yeah, we're not leaving.
We're here. We're staying.